Thank you for listening in on this month's Stonebridge Soundbites. The date of this recording is August 11, 2020. Today, we will be discussing what's driving the equity market. With us to discuss today is Stonebridge Capital Advisor Portfolio Manager Michael Dashner, CFA. Michael, go ahead and take it away.
Hi, Pat. I appreciate the opportunity to offer my thoughts, particularly on the stock market. And we're going to discuss here briefly on what we perceive that the big drivers in the stock market right now. So overall, the market is still driven by the same principles that the stock market is still the best risk return for an individual's assets. It offers the best long-term potential for capital appreciation compared to other asset classes. I think that still holds true, and I think that's reflected in today's current equity prices. That, over the long term, we believe is still the case. In the intermediate to short term, however, we have seen some considerable volatility, particularly in the equity market. So I'm not going to go into too much of what happened in February and March. Everyone, I think, has already heard enough of it in the news. Obviously, COVID happened, and we had to shut down economies, and we saw immediate depreciation in asset prices, particularly in the equity market. We saw some huge dives down. Actually, the short-run volatility measurements were some of the highest we've ever seen in the post-war era. So as we got out of that, now we're entering a new phase. The market rebounded substantially quick compared to how far it was down. The NASDAQ's actually at all-new highs. The S&P is now up on the year. But not all stocks are created equal, particularly in this COVID environment. We're going to go into this in just a second. But first, we should talk about major drivers of equity performance over the last few months. So right as the economy was shutting down, the Federal Reserve came in and saw that there was going to be a problem. Obviously, we've never had an economic shutdown like this. We've never decided that we're just going to turn the keys off and hope for the best. So the Fed came in immediately and pumped as much liquidity as they could in the system. They brought rates to near zero, and then they started an asset purchasing program and a lending program to some degree. When I say asset purchasing, they actually went in and bought corporate and municipal bonds. And so that really helped backstop the equity market. And I know, well, they were buying bonds. How does that affect the equity market? But, you know, when there was a lack of liquidity across all asset classes, when the Fed came in and said, you know what, we are going to be a purchaser of bonds, it helped calm the market, or at least it seemed like it has so far. I don't want to make it sound like we're out of this mess yet. I mean, we still don't have a cure for COVID, and so who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but this is what we see going on so far. So while the Fed put rates low, traditionally low rates have helped the equity market. I'm not going to say they can make the equity market go up on their own, but it certainly offers a much more favorable environment for equity appreciation. And we saw that immediately with people coming right back into the equity market. So again, I'm not saying the Fed was the main driver of this, but they certainly set up a landscape where it was easier to come back into stocks had they had run a more constrictive Federal Reserve policy. So Powell actually came out recently and said they're going to keep rates low or near zero for possibly 2 years from now. And the equity market investors are definitely a forward-looking animal. And so they want to know what's going on ahead, and they discount and price it into today's prices. And that's everything from corporate cash flows to forward macroeconomic environments. So in the last year or so, actually in the last 2 years, late in economic cycles, it's not uncommon for growth stocks or growth styles versus value styles become in favor. As economic expansions get long in the tooth, as we should say, people bid up growth, meaning wherever there is incremental or marginal growth, both on the revenue side or earnings side in the market, it appears those stocks tend to carry a higher earnings multiple because people bid it up and they want, essentially think about it like a game of musical chairs. late in the economic cycle as more chairs go out because they just essentially have maximized their growth potential. Everyone wants to pile into that last chair. And that phenomenon was already happening before the virus hit. We already saw some large divergences in growth versus value styles really throughout the last couple of years. But when the economy shut down, that put that phase into hyper mode, essentially. So if you think about it, there was only a handful of stocks that were potentially going to be able to make money in that environment, and it really focused down to the work from home stocks and the digital stocks and, you know, ordering food stocks or ordering goods. So if I just say those words, you automatically think of Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, even social media stocks, because people still need to communicate with each other. And especially for the younger folks, when bars and social engagements are no longer allowed, they're obviously going to have to find their communication and connectivity somewhere. So we saw, while the market was still down and going down further, we saw a huge bid for the names like Amazon. And it should be a no-brainer, right? Looking back on it, obviously, if you can't go to the store, you're going to order as much as you can. And don't forget, Amazon has Amazon Prime, too. And streaming rates for media content have gone through the roof. So we saw a bid for those stocks come back in. And to this day, it's one of the largest divergences we've seen since 2000-2001 in the dot-com bubble. So I don't know how much longer this is going to last. Actually, recently we've seen somewhat of a style shift into value. And when I say value, the traditional value stocks, you know, more into the financials, possibly some into industrials. But everything's a little different now than it was before, and that's the same with every cycle. Things are a little different. Where we're seeing some resurgence is when the economy looks like it might be coming back online, things could be normalizing. You see a little bit of a shift out of the high growth and into the names that rely on a normal functioning economy. And it's really interesting because whenever we see hopes for a vaccine coming out, you see that shift almost intraday. And then if there's a setback, you watch the flight back to growth. And traditionally, growth and tech have been more of the risk-on trade. And when it looks like there's going to be negative macro news, those stocks have actually become the risk-off trade because they're known, at least in the intermediate time period through while we battle this virus, they're known as the status quo that will still make money. What's putting further pressure on companies inside the financial arena are the really low rates. It's difficult for banks to make much of a margin on loans when rates are effectively at zero. And in particular, banks make money by lending. And in order to lend, you need to have a lot of business activity. And right now, the perceived global growth going forward is a big question mark. And so a lot of the traditional sources of revenue, particularly for the financials, just aren't there. However, we think that the values are so have been smashed so low. When they come out of this cycle, I think they're going to be relatively attractive investments as long as you held on to them. But, you know, we're seeing an ever-changing world. Technology is uprooting all areas of the equity market and bond market. So you have to make sure you're buying the good names. And you're not, I used to say, make sure you're not buying the Kodak. But in the last couple of weeks, Kodak caught a huge bid. But I mean Kodak as, in the 90s when film was going basically extinct. You want to make sure you're not investing into something that won't survive the disruption. So wrapping it all together, the growth styles are at, you know, historically high valuations. And now this can carry on for quite some time. I'm certainly not a market timer. I don't know when the exact time to get in and out of these styles are. In fact, that's a pretty dangerous game to play. But, you know, just year to date, the Russell Large Growth is up 20%, while the Russell Large Value is down 10%. That's almost a 30% gap on value versus growth. More so, what's an interesting statistic is the S&P 500 is up just over 5% this year, But that is a market cap weighted index. If you were to look at the equal weighted index, meaning all 500 companies in the S&P are weighted the exact same, it's down 3% this year. So even though we've seen incredible growth and rebound in the stock market, the average stock in the S&P 500 is still down. What that means to us is there's still buying opportunity. There's a number of stocks that are not at all-time highs. In fact, they're trading substantially lower. I think the energy index year-to-date is still down 30 to 35%. The finance index, the finance sector, is still down almost 20%. So these companies aren't going out of business forever, but you have to have patience. And it's difficult to time these markets, but I think there's still some really good opportunity out there if you're willing to sift through and find the stocks that are going to make it. Now, again, I don't know when this is going to flip. This could last for another year. It could last for another week. But I think at this point in time, focusing on value, focusing on the underlying thesis of the actual company you want to own will pay significantly going forward. And potentially, this might be an opportunity for active management and or stock pickers to find their way and maybe outperform the passive indexes. But people have been saying that for years now, and obviously the passive market has grown in popularity. However, I think going forward, it's going to be very interesting, and I think good fundamental analysis will pay off. So those are my thoughts on the issue. And welcome any feedback, of course. So I appreciate you giving me some time to talk, Pat.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, no, that was great. Really appreciate you coming on and giving us your thoughts on that. To all of you listening, we want to thank you for listening to this month's Stonebridge Soundbites. If you have questions or would like to talk to one of our portfolio managers, please feel free to call us at 651-251-1000. Thank you.